Please take your Bibles, open to the book of John, the 5th chapter. John chapter 5. Your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1120. We'll read responsibly the first 9 verses. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. And the text verse for this morning's message is verse 4. And shall we stand, please? Stand for the reading of this passage. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And let's read together the 9th verse. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful, wonderful book you've given us. Thank you for your word. We pray for your blessing now upon the service, the preaching of your word, and the hearing of your word. O Holy Spirit, we pray for thy moving among us. And may the reality of thy presence be known and felt and recognized. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, for these 100 years, at this time, on this day of the week, some man of God has stood to proclaim the message of grace in this church. We thank Thee for our heritage. We thank Thee for our past. We thank Thee for the dream and hope of our future. We thank Thee most of all for our present. This opportunity this morning, do Thou meet with us, O Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder how many times I've said in the last 28 years, if your troubles have not come yet, they'll come. I said it 2 weeks ago, I think it was today. And little did a little couple know that their little kindergarten boy would be perhaps at the point of death in just a few days. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, troubled waters. And I want everybody in the room, look right this way. I want there to be no talking. I want there to be nothing but attention to God's message, as I believe He's given me for you this morning. The angel, an angel came at this particular pool in Jerusalem on occasion to trouble the waters of this pool. Around this pool there always lay a great multitude of sick and crippled people. Because the first person to get into these troubled waters, after the troubling of the waters by the angel, was made whole. I'm not going to talk to you this morning about this particular instance where this man for 38 years had been carried and sat beside this pool, hoping that he could be the first one after the angel had troubled the waters. One of the saddest statements in all the Bible. To me, there are about four or five, maybe a half a dozen statements in the Bible that are so sad they always nearly move me to tears. Such as, I looked on my right hand, refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. Such as, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And along with those, this statement by this crippled man, who for 38 years had hoped that he could be the next one placed in the troubled waters after the angel came. He said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. I wonder how many people in this great Chicago area would be glad to be placed neath the flow of living waters if somebody would knock on their door this afternoon and tell them. I wonder how many people who will spend eternity in a Christless hell could have gone to heaven, this great Chicago area, if somebody would turn the ball game off long enough to go tell them of the Savior. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Now I want to make some observations this morning about these troubled waters. Observation number one, the strength comes from troubled waters. Was not the serene waters that helped the man or the people who were infirm, but the troubled waters. They could not be helped until the waters had been troubled. I want to thank God this morning for a great army of people sitting in this great church now, whose troubled waters have blessed us through these years. I'm talking this morning about the Roy Moffitt Juniors. That little fella who doesn't know how to quit. Thank God for the blessings we receive from his troubled waters. Little fella been under the surgeon's knife 9 times. Goes under the knife witnessing, comes out witnessing. Thank God this morning for those troubled waters. I was thinking this morning earlier about numbers of our people. This little name won't mean much to you because most of you don't know who she is, but I do and God does. I was thinking about Susan Ackerman, one of our young ladies that had some problems in her life. Went away to a girl's home for a year and came back to become one of the sweetest Christians in this church. You don't know the troubled waters that little girl's been through. That's thanking God for the blessings that I've gotten through those troubled waters. Thank God for the troubled waters such as Pat Cunningham, that little lady not quite yet 30, I think, not married, has multiple cirrhosis, as found out in recent months about it. But she just keeps on going. Just keeps on going. Thank God for the troubled waters. Thank God for the troubled waters of Marlene Evans, and nobody will ever know what that woman's been through and how she keeps on going. Alma Scales, the Robin Moores. The Robin has multiple sclerosis, has been in a wheelchair, an invalid almost, for numbers of years. 3 little children she rears from a wheelchair. Thank God for those who bless us through troubled waters. Not to mention the Mrs. Bartels and others. I want to say this morning to those of you who suffer this morning, those of you who've been and are in troubled waters, you do not suffer unnoticed, unloved, or unappreciated. I want to thank you for your troubled waters, for every time we get near them, we feel stronger because we came. I have developed little bursitis in my feet. And when I first get up, I get out of a car, I've got to limp a little while for about the first 25 steps. Of course, I never take more than 25 steps without sitting down resting anyway. But I have to, for about the first 25 steps or so, I've got to limp a little bit like that. And, but as I do, I look at Mrs. Stark and thank God for her troubled waters. I look at Ken Smith and thank God for his troubled waters. I get tired sometimes. This has been a busy week for me. And this morning I got up and I was on the weary side. And I was driving out toward the cemetery and I began to see those buses going from the college. Do you ever want to get a blessing? Just go out on Highway 30 and park there on Sunday morning between about 7 and 7:45. Just park there and see those college students who get up way before most of us ever get up. Some of those drivers get up 4 o'clock in the morning. Some of those young ladies, 4 and 4:30 in the morning, Sunday morning. After having gone all day on Saturday, knocking on doors. Doesn't matter what kind of weather it is. Doesn't matter if it's snowing. Doesn't matter if it's zero. Doesn't matter. They just keep on going. And this morning I saw those buses and I thought, how tired those young people must be. There's not a group of young folks in the world like the Howells Anderson College young folks. There's just not any in the world. This is no college. This is an army. And those are not dormitories out there. Those are barracks. We're not training scholars. We're training soldiers to fight in the battle of Christ. Thank God this morning for the troubled waters that we see. And I gained strength this morning from watching the troubled waters of our college students. Thank God. When I get a little weary, I think of you college wives. I think of you senior citizens and others. And I want to thank God today for those troubled waters that cause us to gain strength as we observe your troubles. But there's a second thing I want to say. Not only does our strength come from troubled waters, but we become strength for others through troubled waters. You'll not ever be to others the blessing that God wants you to be unless you've had some troubled waters. It was the troubled waters that caused the people to be healed. It was not the serene, calm pond. It was the troubled waters. When the water was troubled, God sometimes comes down into a life of serenity where the waters have been still and quiet, where the still waters flow. And all of a sudden God comes down and God takes and stirs those waters. And all of a sudden that serenity becomes heartache and that smile becomes tears. And suddenly the furrowed brow is obvious, and before long, the bags under the eyes and the stoop shoulders, as God comes down to trouble the waters. But I want to say this morning, thank God for troubled waters, because without the troubled waters, you could never be a blessing to anybody. 37 years ago, yesterday morning, I had prayed all night long in the pine thickets of East Texas. 37 years ago yesterday morning, I fell on my face, looked up and I was begging God to give me His power upon my life and my ministry. And I fell on my face in the pine thickets of East Texas, and I said, Dear God, I'll die if I keep on like this. I've got to have Your power. I've got to have it, and whatever the price is to pay, I want to pay it. I did not know, but 4 hours later, I got word that my father, 37 years ago yesterday morning, dropped dead with a heart attack. 37 years ago this afternoon, my mother, my sister, and my family, and I gathered with a handful of people in a little funeral home in Dallas, Texas, O'Neill Funeral Home. And 37 years ago this afternoon, we placed my father's body in the grave. I took his body a few years ago and brought it back up to our cemetery, and Mama didn't know I was going to do this. Not only that she's upset with me or not, but she didn't know it. See, Daddy left us, and Mama and I sort of grew up together. But I put Daddy's body beside Mama's body, and they both are out there side by side in our mausoleum. But I want to say this morning. I thank God for the troubled waters. I was sitting up here on the platform the other night, 6 o'clock hour. Let me confess something to you. I plan to pastor this church. I want to say this before I confess. I plan to pastor this church as long as I live. And I plan to live another 100 years. If you've got any hopes of having another preacher, just forget about it. But every once in a while, I preached the other day with Dr. Tom Wallace. Dr. Wallace has been pastoring for several years. He's a little younger than I am, but not much. Both of us young, middle-aged men. And we were preaching. And I said, Dr. Wallace, how you doing? He's having the time of my life. You know what he's done? He's resigned his church. He's just traveling across the country preaching. That's all he's doing. Just going from one church to the other, just preaching. And I said, you rascal, you. You don't have to raise any budgets. You don't have to salve anybody's wounds. I said, you rascal, you living on the fat of the land. Just going around the country preaching and not pastoring anymore. I went to my room that night and I got to thinking, wonder how that'd be. I've been pastoring 40 years. I wonder how that'd be. Next Sunday night, the Spanish gave us the program. Those little kids, City Baptist High School, began to sing. And I couldn't control myself over here. And I got to thinking, if I did that, those kids wouldn't have a school, probably. Somebody's got to keep the thing open. Somebody's got to be the place where the buck stops. Somebody's got to find some way to pay the bills. Looked out and saw some of our poor families in the church unemployed and realized that I don't know how many students have I helped to keep in school or raise the money for this year. I'm at 75 to 100. And I got to thinking, if I did that, who'd raise the money for these poor kids in Hammond Baptist High School? And who'd help these college girls that come to every month, to the end of the month, and don't have any tuition to pay? Who'd carry the burden for them? Who'd carry the load? And who'd try to keep the buses rolling and raise them the money for the buses? Last Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, over 12,000 people came to Sunday school on buses at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Hallelujah! Thank God! But somebody's got to have a burden. Somebody's got to do it. And that's that over there, that chair right there where Dr. Jorgensen is, when that Spanish folks were giving us that program and listened to them as they testified. And I said, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I even thought about it. But you know why? I'll tell you why. Because I know what it is to be poor. And I know what it is to not be able to pay the bills. And I want to thank God this morning for the troubled waters. I don't come to you to say this morning, I think Romans 8:28 is true. I come to you to say, I know Romans 8:28 is true. I know it's true. I threw it in the troubled waters. It works. I don't come to you this morning to say, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I don't come to you to say, I'm sorry, my God supply all. No, I was right in the first place. I always get Philippians 4:13 and 4:19 mixed up. They're the only two verses I know in the Bible, and I get them mixed up. I don't come this morning to say to you Philippians 4:13 is true, I think. I come to you to say, I know Philippians 4:13 is true. Why? Because I've taken it through troubled water. I don't come this morning to tell you Philippians 4:19 is true. My God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't come today to tell you I believe that's true. I come to tell you my mama and I found out it was true. We've taken it through troubled waters. And I want to stop this morning to testify and say blessed be God for these over 40 years of preaching and nearly 40 years of pastoring churches.
and trying to carry the financial loads upon my shoulder, I want to come this morning and say, I don't know by hearsay that my God will supply all your needs. I know I've taken that verse through troubled waters. I don't come this morning to say, Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't come this morning to say, I think it's true. I know it's true. I know it's true. Come this morning to say that 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't come this morning to say, I heard about that. I don't come this morning to say, I'm pretty sure that's true. I'd like to stand this morning and say to the whole world, I know it's true. I don't care what your burden is. His grace is sufficient. I'll guarantee you it is. Thank God this morning. Thank God this morning for the troubled water. I don't feel sorry today, though I admire tremendously those little girls at the college that have to wash the dishes and work in the on the work scholarship and scrub the floors. I don't feel sorry for them. I admire them. I feel sorry for those girls out there that never known any troubled waters. I don't feel sorry this morning. I weep with you, but that little family sitting right now beside that little kindergarten boy, looking at his little chest, hoping it'll heave another time. Looking at his little face and hoping the color will stay there. And holding those little hands like numbers of us have done in time gone by. I say those troubled waters will make that family stronger because of it. We've watched the troubled waters of people through these years here at First Baptist Church. This morning I thank God for troubled waters. Thank God for tears. Thank God for heartaches. Thank God for burdens. Somebody said to me last week, where I was preaching, they said, Brother Howes, I've never heard an urgency in your voice like I've heard in recent last 2 years or so. Never heard it before. Heard you preach all these years, but never heard the urgency that I seem to feel and hear in your voice now. I'll tell you why. Because I've been to the pea patch more in the last 2 years than I've been all my ministry put together. Oh, thank God this morning. Thank God for troubled waters. You wouldn't know him as well if you hadn't had the troubled waters. And so the angel came and troubled the waters. First thing I said, our strength comes from troubled waters. Second thing I said, we become strength for others through troubled waters. I want you to notice number three. Notice who troubled the waters. Didn't say the devil came and troubled the waters. Said an angel came and troubled the waters. Now you listen to me. We give the devil far too much credit. We get in trouble and say the devil sure is fighting. No, the angel is stirring. The devil doesn't want you to go through troubled waters because the devil knows that troubled waters will bring you to Christ. He knows that troubled waters will make you stronger. What the devil would like you to do is every one of you to have a Cadillac car and a $250,000 home and a Ph.D. degree and enjoy it so much you'll never meet God, you'll never have any troubled waters and die and go to hell someday. That's what the devil wants. Don't you give the devil the credit for troubling those waters. The angel troubled those waters. Oh, the devil sure is fighting us. No, the angel is preparing you. Angel came and troubled those waters. Didn't say a demon came and troubled the waters. Doesn't say the devil came and troubled the waters. It says that an angel came and troubled the waters. And I want to say this, and I'll be through quickly. I want to say this. Not only does our strength come from troubled waters, we become strength for others through troubled waters. Not only does the angel stir and trouble the waters. But the troubled waters did not just cure one disease. The Bible said whosoever got in the pool first. It may be that one time after those waters were troubled, a paralytic got in the pool first and was healed. It may be the next time that somebody who had leukemia got in the waters and he was healed. Didn't matter what was wrong with you. You got in those troubled waters first and take care of it. It doesn't matter what's wrong with you this morning. Our God will take care of it. You come to the living fountain of Calvary and you bathe yourself in the fountain that flows from Calvary's cross and bathe yourself in the blood of Christ. There's a fountain filled with blood. You bathe yourself in that blood. I don't care what sin you've got. God will forgive you. I don't care where you've been. God will forgive you. How far down you've gone. God will forgive you. I don't care what your burdens are. I don't care what they are. God will give you strength in those burdens, and troubled waters are applicable and helpful, and they're cleansing for anybody who has any. You remember the story of the Israelites when they were going toward the Promised Land? They came to a place, and the waters from which they were drinking got bitter. Place called Marah, and the word Marah means bitter. Naomi's name was changed to Marah when she was changed from pleasant to bitter. They came to a little pool of water where they had to drink, and the waters were bitter. They couldn't drink the waters, and God said to Moses, He said, you cut down a tree, and you throw that tree in that little pond of bitter waters. Moses and the people took that tree, cut it down, threw it inside that little pool of bitter waters. And the water became sweet. And let me tell you something. Standing just outside the northern wall of Jerusalem, there's a hill. And on that hill, 2,000 years ago, there was a tree. And brother, if you've got a life that's bitter this morning, you just take that tree and throw it in your life, and I'll guarantee you your waters will be sweet. And I'd like to stand and testify and say that bitter waters are always sweet when the cross of Calvary has been thrown into them. I never thought I'd say this 37 years ago today. I looked up at God and I said, God, I don't understand this. I'm a preacher. I'm a kid preacher. I'm just getting started out. I don't understand this. And my daddy's gone to hell as far as I know, and I don't understand it. Here I go out, knock on doors and try to get folks saved, and I'm doing the best I can. And now all of a sudden my daddy's gone to hell. I'm not glad my daddy died without Christ. But I'm glad for the bitter waters. I know a preacher. If I called his name, everybody in this house would know it. Famous preacher. Very well known. Good, dear friend of mine. One of these days, he's going to shake this nation. But he's missing one thing right now. Tears. He's never had a broken heart yet. He's never faced the bitter waters yet. I guarantee you, as soon as the troubled waters come, first time, you're going to see a preacher develop and become probably the greatest preacher in this nation. That's all he needs. Troubled waters. I want to thank you, Jesus, for the troubled waters. I cannot always say that I've enjoyed them while I was traveling through them. But I want to thank you for the troubled waters. I'm not thanking you that my daddy died without Christ, but I'm thanking you for what you put me through. I'm thanking you that I never bury anybody without hurting with them for the troubled waters. And I want to thank you for poverty as a child. I want to thank you for hunger. I want to thank you for cold nights without any heat. And I want to thank you for 40 years of troubled waters. God knows I want to be a blessing. That's all that's left when you get my age. Brother Jim, I don't know how you feel, but that's all that's left anymore. I've done everything I want to do. I've been everywhere I want to go. I just want to spend the rest of my days being a blessing. I wish I could do it without having that angel come so often. That angel lives next door to me. I wish I could do it without troubled waters, but I can't. And so I thank God this morning
for troubled waters. Let me tell you something, folks. You folks that carry the heaviest burdens this morning, God's going to make you a blessing the most. In the wee hours of the morning, back when the church was smaller and our crowd could sit over here in this one section, back when I could do more things and didn't have all the ministries we have and so much responsibility. A lot of things I did. I remember 21 years ago, Mrs. Hiles and I were up in St. Margaret's Hospital visiting because little Danny Penley was ill and they were having tests run on him. We got off the elevator and there was Madeline standing there and she was weeping. And I said, Madeline, what's wrong? She said, the tests are back. Little Danny's got leukemia. And little Danny wilted away. One night he was at the point of death. Over at Chicago Hospital. About 4 o'clock in the morning, they asked that little 4-year-old boy, John, I asked him, or somebody asked him, said, Danny, is there anything you want? They said he wouldn't make the night. And little Danny Penley said, I want my preacher. 4 o'clock in the morning, I went over to Chicago to the hospital, picked up little Danny Penley in my arms. Wasn't long till he was gone. Shall we ever forget the blessings and strength we received from the troubled waters called John and Madeline Penley 21 years ago? That's one reason why we love our mothers. They went through troubled waters for us. That's why we stand and salute them today, because of the troubled waters that they endured. Don't shrink back because of troubled waters. I know people in this room this morning. I'm thinking of people. And names are going through my mind right now, and I shouldn't start calling their names. But Mrs. Knack comes to my mind right now. She was so close to her husband. He was taken to heaven months ago, and it's been a tough thing for her. But people like that, you don't understand this. You folks asleep, you're in church. You don't understand it. You folks that like to giggle and cut up, you don't understand this. But there are people who walk in this building every Sunday morning just barely able to walk spiritually. They sit out there and say to themselves, hurry up and get through with the song service. I've got to have some strength. How many times do I say on Saturday night, if they don't get strength from me tomorrow, they won't have strength for next week. And I say to those of you today in that room, you have no idea the strength you've given to us because of your troubled waters. And don't forget, it was an angel that troubled them. Every week, when I go to Mama's grave, I take out, if I can find it, this little picture right here. And I look at it. And I say, thank you, Mama, for your sacrifice. But every Saturday night before I go to bed, I get on my face and have for years and take out this picture right here of my daddy who was buried 37 years ago this afternoon. And I say, well, God, tomorrow morning in that service, there are people that are going to feel like I felt the only time my daddy ever went to church with me. And I pray you'd help me to preach with the sincerity and power that I wanted my preacher to have the one time my daddy sat beside me. Thank you, troubled waters. Every time we come near to you, we feel stronger. And thank you, Jesus, for troubled waters that help us, maybe, to strengthen others and be a blessing to others. And this morning, if you're here, your life is troubled, you'll find the answer in the living water. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the troubled waters. Thank you for the great army of people in this room whose life has been a life of troubled waters. Thank you for honoring us, angel of God, by troubling our waters some. We accept it. We don't run from it or shrink back from it. We say, thank you.